This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. The European satellite operator Eutelsat issues a warning to Press TV that it will take it off the air weeks after the EU imposed sanctions on the broadcaster. Germany arrests over two dozen members of a far-right extremist group, connection with an alleged plot to storm parliament and to overthrow the government. And Russia is reportedly weighing its options to respond to the price gap imposed by the West on its oil, including banning oil sales to countries that back the move.
Well, welcome to the studios from the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
The European satellite operator Eutelsat has issued a warning to Iran's English-language news channel Press TV that it will take the broadcaster off the air. The potential move is in line with EU sanctions on Iran. Recently, the bloc imposed sanctions on 29 Iranian individuals and three organizations, including Press TV, over Iran's response to the riots in the country. Press TV has strongly condemned Eutelsat's decision, criticizing the EU for being behind the move.
This is the same Europe which is openly hosting numerous broadcasters that are hostile to the Islamic Republic of Iran and is turning a blind eye to hate-mongering and dissemination of fake news against Iran. The European Union is aware that Press TV reflects the real image of the continent to both the bloc and the world, and that the channel fights against attempts to paint a dark picture of Iran.
Press TV says the move is part of the West's continuous attempts aimed at silencing the voice of the Iranian people. It has also criticized the West's double standards when it comes to the freedom of speech. Nonetheless, Press TV says it will continue to do its utmost in order to remain the voice of the voiceless. This is not the first time that Western governments are trying to block the Iranian news networks. The channel's website, YouTube account, and other social media platforms have been targeted several times before. International lawyer in Bali, Indonesia, Barry Grossman, has shared with us his thoughts about Eutelsat's plan to remove Press TV from its airwaves.
There is not the slightest concern about being honest or truth or different positions. There's not even a concern about being truthful about the nonsense that they peddle. Instead, what they want to do is eliminate access to anything that contradicts the line of BS that they're peddling around the world. And they have many different ways of doing that. One of which, for example, is to saddle organizations like Press TV with the label that it's an Iranian government news outlet, overlooking the fact that pretty much every news outlet in the United States, including a few owned by the U.S. government, work very closely with the intelligence apparatus to decide on a case-by-case basis what stories can go to air, what the day's talking points are, what stories are to be pushed. There's not the remotest concern for conflicting points of view, let alone the facts which underlie them. And there's an incredible misunderstanding about what an organization like Press TV is all about. For example, I have no trouble stating publicly, after more than a decade of regularly contributing to Press TV, that I have never been asked what I'm going to say before I participate in a segment, never been encouraged in any way to express a particular position. I simply take part. And I think what Press TV does is it provides a platform for dissenting opinions, which in some instances do not necessarily reflect the official position taken by the Iranian government. That's not really what it's about.
Journalist and political commentator from London, Sayed Mohsen Abbas, gives us his perspective on why an alternative medium such as Press TV is targeted by Western sanctions.
The fact is, when Imam Khomeini arrived, he talked about no East, no West, and he meant it. He meant that there was a new ideology. Now, it's this ideological factor which is, number one, a problem for neoliberal, hyper-capitalist secularism. Number two is that Iran has been extraordinarily successful in the technological and scientific fields and has advanced far more rapidly than these people or their enemies would have wished or even dreamt of. And this advancement, whether it's in terms of putting satellites up into space, or whether it's having drone technology, or whether it's the actual military prowess, all of these things have created a huge threat for the suppression and the control mechanisms of the Americans and Anglo-Zionist empire. Stopping Press TV is a way, really, of trying to stop any kind of sense being put into people who are essentially propagandized, who are brainwashed and given the standard diatribes that these are. These plutocratic media organizations basically serve up on a daily basis. But what they're doing with Press TV in terms of freedom of speech and censorship is another thing which absolutely smacks in the face of all reason and all civilized sensibilities.
The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement has slammed some Arab governments for normalizing ties with the Israeli regime, saying that it will lead to more divisions among Muslims. Abdul Malik al-Houthi said the Israeli regime and the U.S. are conspiring to sow seeds of discord among Muslims from Yemen to Palestine to Iraq. He also touched on the Saudi-led war on his country, saying that Riyadh and his allies want Yemen to be under foreign occupation. He said that they seek to enslave Yemen and plunder its natural wealth. However, he vowed that the Yemeni people would make futile any plot to put their country under Western hegemony. He stressed the Yemeni people's firm resolve to stay united and work to achieve independence. One more young Palestinian man has fallen victim to Israeli forces in the West Bank amid heightened tensions across the occupied territories. The Palestinian Health Ministry has identified the victim as 32-year-old Mujahid Mahmoud Hamed, cited the Palestinian Civil Affairs as saying that the man was fatally shot in the town of Deir Dibwan, east of Ramallah, following a chase. The Israeli regime has recently intensified its deadly crackdown on Palestinians. Israeli forces have killed over 210 Palestinians in the West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip since the beginning of this year. Germany has arrested 25 individuals in connection with an alleged coup plot in the country. The detainees are members of a far-right extremist group. According to the Federal Prosecutor's Office, the suspects were preparing to violently force their way into parliament. The office said that they were armed and planned to overthrow the government using support from, quote, a Russian-backed terrorist organization. The Kremlin, however, has roundly rejected any involvement in the plot, saying that there can be no question of any Russian interference. Meanwhile, the German Defense Ministry said the country's military has a zero-tolerance policy toward extremism and remains vigilant to such threats. The suspects were arrested during large-scale raids across 11 German states on Wednesday. The Russian president says that Moscow will continue its special military operation in Ukraine to defend its national interests. In a televised meeting, Vladimir Putin said the campaign can be a lengthy process, that the Russian army would keep fighting for a long time using all available means. Putin also denied allegations that Moscow is planning a second round of mobilization, saying that he sees no need for additional soldiers at this point. Elsewhere in his remarks, Putin slammed Western rights organizations for viewing Russia as a, quote, second-class country that has no right to exist at all. The remarks come as the war in Ukraine is in its 10th month. Both Russia and Ukraine have stepped up their attacks in recent days, with each side blaming the other for targeting civilians and non-military positions. Russian media say that Moscow is weighing its options to respond to the price cap imposed by the West on its oil sales. Citing Russian officials, the daily newspaper Vedomosti says the options include banning oil sales to countries that support the price cap and setting maximum discounts to international benchmarks. The $60 price limit on Russia's seaborne oil agreed by Ukraine's Western allies came into force on Monday. The restrictions are aimed at hitting Russia's revenues to reduce its ability to finance the war in Ukraine. However, Moscow says the cap would not hurt its economy. Kiev has also reacted by calling the move ineffective and a weak position by its allies. The Bank of Italy has slammed the government's 2023 draft budget bill, saying that it would hinder the battle against tax evasion. The country's central bank says promoting cash instead of digital payments risks boosting the black economy in Italy. Our correspondent Max Civilli has more.
Italy's new right-wing government is under fire over its 2023 draft budget bill, which the country's central bank and a number of social partners have severely criticized. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's draft budget features a 35 billion euro spending plan and fiscal policies focusing mainly on helping struggling families and businesses with the cost of living emergency.
Due grandi priorità.
There are two big priorities: growth, which means safeguarding our production system, and social justice, which means focusing on families and on people on low incomes. This budget is the product of political choices, as is normal for a political government.
Giorgia Meloni's draft budget bill also includes plans to raise the legal limit for cash transactions from 1,000 to 5,000 euros and allowing retailers to refuse digital payments for transactions valued at less than 60 euros. The Bank of Italy has slammed these proposals, saying higher cash thresholds favor the black economy, a position shared by some trade unions and the National Entrepreneurs Association, Confindustria.
The budget bill was put together in a short time, and it has some positives public finance-wise. However, it doesn't allocate resources for business investments, as the money available has been used for objectives like the flat tax and early retirement measures, which, in our opinion, are not a priority.
Credit card use has been steadily on the rise throughout the Eurozone in recent years, but not in Italy. The Italians rather use cash for their day-to-day purchases, despite numerous incentives to encourage electronic payments. According to the National Bureau of Statistics, Istat, the underground economy in Italy was at over 180 billion euros in 2019, the equivalent of around 12% of gross domestic product. Half of that, about 90 billion euros, was estimated to be tax evasion.
Raising the limit for cash transactions goes in contrast with the rest of the European country's direction. I hope this government soon goes home.
I'm not happy at all about the government's decision to raise the limit for cash transactions. We Italians are known to be tax evaders.
The draft budget bill will now be reviewed by the government and sent to Brussels for approval before it is passed. Max Civilli, Rome.
EU finance ministers expressed frustration with Hungary for blocking billions of euros in financial aid for Ukraine. Hungary is at loggerheads with Brussels over claims that Budapest is flouting the bloc's rule of law. Jerome Hughes reports from the EU headquarters in Brussels.
EU leaders are furious with Hungary for blocking an 18 billion euro financial aid package for Ukraine, the first tranche of which is due to be released to Kiev next month. Finance ministers from the 27-nation bloc came together on Tuesday to try and resolve the impasse, but the meeting ended in failure.
Ukraine is a country at war. It desperately needs our support, and we just cannot allow one member state delay and derail this EU financial support.
This debacle follows a European Commission proposal last week to freeze 7.5 billion euro in funding to Hungary from the EU budget amid claims that Budapest is not meeting the bloc's rule of law standards. Aside from Ukraine, EU finance ministers have major problems closer to home. The energy crisis in the EU, resulting from sanctions against Russia, is getting worse by the day. The European Commission warns of economic disaster if EU nations continue to subsidise high energy costs in an ad hoc emergency fashion.
That is why we encourage member states to improve the targeting of this measure, and we have recommended replacing broad-based priced measure with a cost-efficient two-tier energy pricing system.
Out of control energy prices are making the cost of living crisis in the EU unbearable for households and businesses. Eurozone inflation is at 10%. The European Central Bank is aggressively increasing interest rates to try and tackle the problem. Economists warn forcing inflation down too quickly can also be dangerous.
Of course, if you have a persistent drop in prices, people might think, well, I'm not going to buy now. I'm not going to spend now because prices will come down. So I'm going to stay with my money in the pockets and wait for later. And of course, you don't have economic activity.
Croatia will become the 20th member of the Eurozone next month. EU finance ministers say Zagreb will be able to enjoy all the benefits. However, the euro has a troubled history, and so it's clear Croatia will also be exposed to potential risks during these incredibly uncertain economic times. Jerome Hughes, the EU Finance Minister's meeting, Brussels.
Turning now to Argentina, where Vice President Cristina Kirchner has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for corruption. An Argentinian court has also given the former president a lifelong ban on holding public office for a $1 billion fraud case. Kirchner has been found guilty of awarding public works contracts during her presidency between 2007 and 2015. She's dismissed the charges, saying that they are politically motivated and unproven lies made up by her enemies. Kirchner is unlikely to go to jail, as she enjoys immunity due to her government position. The vice president, who is the wife of former President Néstor Kirchner, is expected to appeal the court ruling. Indigenous Canadians seized the moment at the COP15 Biodiversity Summit to protest against the federal government's crimes against First Nations people. A group of activists disrupted Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's speech at the opening ceremony of the summit in Montreal. They beat drums and unfurled a banner that read Indigenous Genocide equals Ecocide. They called on the government to stop invading their lands if it wants to save biodiversity. Last year, the remains of hundreds of children were found at the sites of former residential schools in Canada. The harrowing discovery has led to demands for accountability. Thousands of Indigenous children vanished at schools mostly run by the Catholic Church, that aimed to assimilate them during the 19th and 20th centuries. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
هيهات ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبغ لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك.
Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, you know we have reached this excerpt of this divine supplication of Kumail. Hayat ma dhalika dhannu bik wa lal ma'rufu min fadlik. Far be it from you, that is not what is expected of you, nor what is well known of your bounty. Wa la mushbihun lima 'amalta bihi al-muwahhidin min birrika wa ihsanik. Nor is it similar to the goodness and kindness you have shown to those who have professed your oneness and your unity. In the previous episodes, brothers and sisters, we concluded that based on the different verses of the Holy Quran, there is nothing more valuable than Allah's mercy in this universe. Now, the source of this mercy in this world and the hereafter are the Ahlul Bayt, referred to by Imam Hadi alayhi salam in Ziyara Jami'a Kabir. And the embodiment of Muwahideen mentioned in this part of the supplication is the Ahlul Bayt. This part says, nor is it similar to the goodness and kindness you have shown to those who profess your oneness. Min fadlik, birrik, ihsanik. These words, these blessings of the Almighty Allah is for the ones who have professed to the unity and monotheism. So, if anyone wants to reach this kind of blessing, this goodness and kindness, this bounty of the Almighty Allah, this being immune from his punishment, he must adhere to the Ahlul Bayt. The Holy Prophet's recommendation about the Ahlul Bayt during 23 years of his mission was that it is impossible to understand the Holy Quran without them. Zayd ibn Arqam, one of those trustworthy Sunni narrators, is reported to have said, قام رسول الله يوما, one day, Allah's messenger stopped at Qadir Khum, a place between Mecca and Medina, and delivered a sermon. فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ووعظ وذكر. After praising Allah, he said, أما بعد, ألا أيها الناس فإنما أنا بشر يوشك أن يأتي رسول ربي فأجيب. I am a human who will pass away soon. وأنا تارك فيكم الثقلين. So I'm leaving two worthy things behind, أولهما كتاب الله. The first one is the book of Allah. فيه الهدى والنور. It encompasses guidance and light. ثم قال, then he said, وأهل بيتي. And then my Ahlul Bayt. And he said three times, I remind you of Allah in relation to my Ahlul Bayt. So the Ahlul Bayt, as mentioned by the Holy Quran and different traditions, are the sources of mercy.
And how can the gods of hell threaten him when he calls out to you, my Lord? And how would you abandon him therein when he has faith in your grace to set him free? Alas, that is not the concept of you, nor has your grace such a reputation, nor does it resemble that which you have awarded by your kindness and generosity. To those who believe in your unity, I definitely conclude that had you not ordained punishment for those who disbelieved in you, and had you not decreed your enemies to remain in hell, you would have made hell cool and peaceful, and there would never have been an abode or place for anyone in it.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So we understood anyone who resorts to the Ahlul Bayt by getting to know them and their knowledge, by loving them, by obeying them, is the one who will enjoy Allah's mercy and favor mentioned in this part of the supplication. وَلَا مُشْبِهٌ لِمَا عَامَلْتَ بِهِ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ مِنْ بِرِّكَ وَإِحْسَانِكَ. This kind of punishment is not what we have seen. It is not similar to the goodness and kindness you show to the ones who profess your unity. This means, this is the custom of the Almighty Allah, to show his blessings and goodness and kindness to the ones professing his oneness. The one who follows them will enjoy Allah's mercy during the lifetime, even in the duration between his death and the resurrection and the judgment day. In this relation, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, إِنَّمَا أَحَدُكُمْ حِينَ يَبْلُغُ نَفْسَهُ هَاهُنَا يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. When the breath of one of you comes to his throat, the angel of death comes down on him, saying, أَمَّا مَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُو فَقَدْ أُعْتِيتَهُ وَأَمَّا مَا كُنْتَ تَخَافُهُ فَقَدْ أَمِنْتَ مِنْهُ. You were granted what you longed for, and you were given safety for what you were afraid of. وَيُفْتَحْ لَهُ بَابٌ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then a gate of paradise is opened to his house, and he is said, وَيُقَالْ لَهُ انظر إِلَى مَسْكَنِكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَانظُرْ هَذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَعَلِي وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ رُفَقَاؤُكَ. Behold, these are Allah's messenger, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and your friends. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. And these are the words of Allah. They shall have good news in this world's life and in the hereafter. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Tümen. Yani?
Bazaar.
If you look around, nearly every object you see is made of raw material extracted from a mine. Basically, if you can't grow it, you have to mine it. The extraction of minerals, metals, and fuels from the ground is one of humankind's oldest industries. Never more than now has society been so dependent on greater variety and larger volumes of mined products. So it's no surprise that mining fuels our modern world and makes economies grow.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Alireza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we will be exploring the mining industry while shining the spotlight on the machinery used in this sector. We wanted to see what types of machines are used and who is actively manufacturing them. Plus, we wanted to understand why the mining sector is crucial to the national economy and how manufacturers contribute to its progress. So, let's roll out the show. Our quest for answers led us to Shahrud City in Semnan province, where we visited a company specializing in manufacturing various mining machines. With nearly 20 years of experience, this knowledge-based company is active in a host of fields. It conducts research, development, and production of equipment needed in various industries. That being said, it also manufactures a variety of excavating, drilling, trenching, and digging machines. The life of any product begins in the design room. This company has researched and developed these machines and has perfected their performance. Optimizing the machine's size, speed, and power to carry out tasks has also reduced the expenses related to projects where these machines are used. These machines can be used in agriculture and road maintenance, among other medium-scale construction projects. Most materials needed to make these machines can be purchased inside Iran. Steel sheets, gears, wires, and whatever else is required to build the machine can be domestically found. And if a design requires a particular part, this company can make its own molds to create the parts. You might find it interesting that these machines are currently imported, as there is a high demand among mining companies for equipment. So, indigenizing the production of mining machines has been a big step towards supporting this sector. Another benefit to local production is it saves the country millions by cutting back on imports. The beating heart of this knowledge-based company is its research and development department. Here is where all the magic happens. This area employs some of the most talented and experienced specialists to research, design products, and optimize existing ones. But that's not all. The Research and Development Department also studies future projects. This company also dabbles in making equipment used to harness renewable energy. This company not only uses its own expert staff, but also stays up to date on the latest knowledge by maintaining links with the Industrial University of Shahrud. It collaborates with academic institutions and exchanges knowledge with them too. Furthermore, this knowledge firm also uses capacities and resources made available by Semnon Tech Park. Among its services, it offers the execution of projects through contracting. For example, it has used its machines to complete piping and installation of telecommunications manholes for intercity networks. Another example is carving drainage systems in agricultural fields using its trenchers. Over the years, this company has made a variety of award-winning machines, such as drilling machines equipped with fiber optic lights. Moreover, this company has invented 6 products that have been internationally patented. This knowledge-based manufacturer has never stopped eyeing the future and has plans to expand its production units and product portfolio in the coming years. The company we just mentioned is part of the puzzle that helps Iran's mining sector thrive. It is one of Iran's key industries, as the country is one of the top 10 mineral-rich nations globally. Roughly 7% of global mineral reserves can be found in Iran, making it one of the most important mineral producers in the world. Numbers from Iran's Trade Promotion Organization show that last year the sector saw a growth in exports. Government officials, however, say export figures could still be much higher. Furthermore, efforts have been placed on encouraging research and production in knowledge-based firms to increase specialized production, such as mining machines, in the market. And here is where knowledge-based companies play a big role.
Okay, time for me to take a little break from here and divert your attention to a report that I made earlier in the week. Welcome to another special feature of Bazaar. Today, we are discussing energy production, specifically electricity production through gas turbines and some of the problems that come with it. So, at different times of the year, mainly during the summer, we get sporadic blackouts at peak hours, at one of the peak hours, let's say around 12 at noon until 4 to 5 p.m. Because we cannot store electricity, electricity production must always match electricity consumption. But because of the temperature during these hours, during this time of the year, during the summer, high temperatures in particular negatively affect electricity production through gas turbines. So first we're going to take a look at, well, why that is and how gas turbines work. And also, we believe that we have found a solution at Sharif Innovation Center in one of the companies that has made that solution, and we're going to check that out too. Why do high temperatures negatively affect the performance of a gas turbine? Well, bear with me as I try to explain how a gas turbine works through this prototype that they have here. This is the prototype of the device that would be used at scale. This is not at scale. So imagine this is the gas turbine. How it works is that it sucks air through these air ducts, and the temperature of that air is very important. I'm going to get back to that. The air goes through a compressor here. The compressor compresses the air, which we would need the compressed air for the combustion chamber. A combustion chamber essentially makes this work exactly like a plane engine or a car engine. A car engine is slightly different because the movement that it produces is linear, whereas the plane engine has rotary movement. So that's exactly what it is like, because it produces rotary movement. So in the combustion chamber, we add a certain type of gas to the compressed air, and then a little spark creates an explosion, and the explosion, the high pressure air, would then spin our turbines. And the turbines, which have movement in them, are connected to a a generator, and the generator's job is to turn movement into electricity, which goes through the power grid and then gets to whoever needs it. Now, the thing here, the important thing about the air temperature is that we need ideal conditions, ideally, for the machine to work at peak performance. And that ideal condition is at sea level 15 degrees Celsius. So the air, ideally, is 15 degrees Celsius, but we don't get that kind of temperature in a lot of places, especially in a hot and dry climate. So we have a couple of options to alleviate that problem. Number one, the inefficient option is to work the compressor a lot more, which would use a lot more energy, but that's not even the issue. The issue is that there's a lot easier of a way. So what they have found at TEPCO company is that they have instead tried to use an ice storage unit to work as a thermal storage compartment, because the thermal storage capacity of ice is 100 times more than that of the water. So here they create ice essentially at midnight until the morning when no one is using the power and the air is colder, because that is what happens. The difference between temperatures during the day and temperatures during the night in dry climates is pretty massive. So it's a lot easier to create the ice during that time. So they do that so that in the morning or at noon during peak hours, 12 p.m. to like 4 or 5 p.m., they have the ice to cool the water that is in the storage, and the cooled water goes through a radiator behind the air duct so that the air, the probably hot air that comes through the chamber, is cooled using the water that is in the ice storage compartment. That water cools the air down to like 15 degrees and gives us ideal conditions to work with. So the compressor doesn't need to work that hard. We get our ideal conditions through the ice storage unit. And that is how they are able to offset the amount of electricity that we would lose if we were to use the compressor a lot harder. And that's pretty much how a gas turbine works as well, but also this is the innovation here. A better way to cool the air and get a gas turbine to work at peak performance. Other less efficient methods of cooling the water that comes through the chamber. Both of them are called evaporative cooling. The first type is done through a wet media, most likely a cooling pad that you see in water coolers everywhere. So how it works is that there's a lot of surface and they run water through it, and the air is going to go through this cooling pad. So as the air goes through the cooling pad, the water absorbs the heat from the air and evaporates. Evaporation is an endothermic procedure, which is heat absorbing, which means that the heat is absorbed from the air and transferred to the water, which evaporates, making the air that runs through the cooling pad a lot cooler. This is a rather wasteful method because, well, you're using water, because in the method that I showed you, you don't use water. The water is just circulated back into the system. This one, you use water, and it's just generally not that efficient. The other method is even more inefficient. You see it in a lot of places in like outdoors restaurants. They spray water through the air that is going to go through the chamber, and the extremely tiny water droplets absorb the heat from the air and evaporate as they are sprayed. This also absorbs heat from the air, and that is why when you go through the spray of water, you feel a cool breeze, because the air is a lot cooler, because its heat is transferred to the water molecules. So both of these methods are pretty inefficient, and I just wanted you to know about other methods that are used, but they are definitely more inefficient. And this chart is a demonstration of how our thermal storage system would perform in an actual 400 megawatt hour power plant system. When the ice is getting used in midday, it bumps up the production by a difference of 60 megawatts in a regular 400 megawatt hour power plant. And this is how it would theoretically work if it were to be implemented in power plants across the country. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find distress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out. Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions. Why, how, and what? Why is to define the problem? How is the process towards the solution? And what is the final product and prototype? These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is a heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
We are almost out of time for our program today, but before we go, let's look at news and trends in the mining sector and its related trades. Here's a brief overview of the country's mining markets and exporting activities this year, based on figures from the Iranian Mines and Mining Industries Development and Renovation Organization. A total of over 20 million tons of minerals and mining industry products were exported in the first half of the Iranian fiscal year. These exports are valued at $5.6 billion, according to the IMM-LDRO report. Steel products championed the top of export charts with an aggregate value of $2.5 billion. These products include iron ore, semi-finished, and finished steel. In terms of tonnage, cement and clinker topped the list with over 6 million tons. Last year, Iran exported a record high of nearly $12 billion worth of minerals and mining products. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Let us know what you think about this sector by dropping us a line via our email. Thank you for tuning in. It's bye for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.